So I've always been a little obsessed with paella. Because one, carbs. Two, the whole idea is that you cook rice in a delicious broth so that it absorbs all the flavor, so it's carbs plus. And three, a good paella is all about cooking that super flavored rice until it actually crisps up on the bottom, so that makes it carbs plus plus. And then I learned that a great paella, the way they do it in Spain, is to actually make the whole thing over an open fire. So you get that fat, flavored rice, crisp up at the bottom, and good and smoky. So now it's carbs plus plus plus, and that is showing rice a lot of love. So to do it right, it does take some work and a little bit of good timing, but Lan Lam from America's Test Kitchen also obsessed over it and figured out a killer way to make paella on the grill. And Sally Swift learned how to do it.
Hey Lan, great to have you with us.
Hi Sally, great to be here.
So we have been talking culinary projects this hour, and one of my dream projects has always been paella. And I suspect you can help me with that.
I would love to help you with that. Paella is fantastic, but there are a couple tricky bits you have to overcome. A traditional paella is cooked outside over a fire, and so when we want to cook our paella outside on a grill, making sure that we have the right setup is really important.
So what do you think a perfect paella is?
What I expect to see in a paella is distinct grains of really flavorful rice, nicely cooked proteins, maybe a little bit of greenery, and most importantly, a nice crispy crust on the bottom of the pan.
They call it socarrat. Does that sound right?
Yes. The socarrat adds a bit of crunchy texture to the dish.
So paella is traditionally cooked outside.
It is, yeah. It was created by farmhands who would gather up brushwood, grapevine bits, and whatever else was available to build the fire. And then they would gather up whatever edibles were around, rabbits, snails, chicken, beans. And those ingredients, along with the rice, would go into the pan.
What a lunch, right?
Yeah.
All right. So what were the challenges for you? What are the things that you had to think about when you were redoing this recipe for the home cook?
Well, home cooks aren't going to build a fire with grapevines.
Nor so... use snails, probably, but...
True. So the things I was looking at were, what's the best setup for the fire so that you're not constantly adjusting it? What do you cook it in? Especially if you don't want to purchase a paella pan. How to cook the proteins. They're very different. They cook at different rates. So how do you prepare them? When do you add them? And then finally, how do you get tender, chewy, flavorful rice with a crisp crust?
Exactly. Those are all the reasons I have not taken this on. So tell me, what were your shortcuts and how did you figure this out?
Well, I started with the pan. A paella pan is perfect for creating that crust of rice that we were talking about because it's very broad and so there's a lot of surface area for crisping. I looked around the kitchen and realized that a roasting pan, a large roasting pan that you'd cook a turkey in, would be perfect. It's nice and broad. It still fits in your grill and you don't have to go out and buy anything.
That is really good to know. I have no excuses now.
That's right. Secondly, we had to figure out what sort of fire setup to use. If you're on a gas grill, you can just turn it on. And then as you're cooking, you'll lower the heat gradually to mimic the fire dying down.
Oh. But
on charcoal, where the fire will die down naturally, the problem was making sure that it was hot enough at the beginning and it would last long enough. And the solution is actually really simple. You would light your charcoal and dump it in the grill and then add some unlit briquettes to the top. And that's just enough to keep the fire going to cook your paella.
So you never have to restoke it?
Correct.
Okay, that's excellent. And then how do you deal with cooking chicken and sausage and seafood? How do you deal with that?
So I found that grilling the chicken first gets it going, which is great. It shortens the cooking time in the pan, but it also infuses that chicken with a nice bit of smokiness that kind of spreads out into the rice as it cooks. As for everything else, it was just about adding them at the right time in the right place. You were adding shrimp after the rice is partially cooked, and clams, you have to make sure that they go in hinge side down so that when they open up, their liquor drains into the rice and flavors it.
Oh, I never would have thought of that. And then what kind of liquid are you adding to the rice?
So the liquid is actually really important. It's the rice absorbs it and it flavors the rice. And I was finding that when I added all the liquids outside to the pan, it would take too long for them to heat up and for the rice to cook through. Hmm. But if you take all those ingredients and combine them into one broth inside and bring it up to a simmer, it just shortens the process.
So you heat up your liquid like you would do a risotto, right? So you would have the liquid heated on the back burner, and what have you enriched that liquid with?
Right. So I was using a combination of tomato paste, chicken broth, clam juice, and sherry, and then a little bit of garlic, some paprika, and saffron threads if you like saffron.
Nom, that sounds delicious. You can hardly go wrong with that. So you're essentially, you're heating up the liquid inside, then taking it outside to the grill and adding it to the pan with the rice.
Right, right.
Do you add anything else?
Yes, there's just one last component. It's the sofrito, and traditionally that's peppers, onions, and maybe some tomato. But I was finding that cooking them outside just took way too long. And so to speed up the cooking process, I ended up using tomato paste and roasted red peppers instead.
Okay, so what is the trick to getting the rice to be tender and still getting that beautiful crust on the bottom?
The traditional rice used in paella is called a bomba, and it's really good at absorbing all the liquid without turning mushy. I found that arborio rice is actually a pretty good substitute.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm.
And so it'll cook up into distinct grains that aren't starchy and mushy. And then in order to get that socarrat, you just need to make sure there's enough oil in the pan to start so that at the end of cooking, once all that moisture is driven off and the pan starts to dry out, you'll hear this popping, sizzling sound come from your grill. And it's a sign that the bottom is starting to fry and that crust is starting to develop.
Oh, that sounds exciting. So how long does this whole process take?
Oh, it's going to be a little under 2 hours, so not too long.
And it's all hands off once you get it on the grill. You just trust.
It is mostly hands off. And what's nice is you never have to take anything out. You're just adding things to the grill. And it's fantastic.
It's a beautiful idea. Thank you so much. I'm taking it on.
Awesome. I'd love to hear how you did.
Lan Lam is a senior editor at Cooks Illustrated. And you can find that amazing recipe for paella on the grill at splendidtable.org.